It's time for another Groundquake interview with Fran. Listen as she shakes up the airwaves, one interview at a time. Now, here's Fran.
Today we welcome songwriter artist Ted Seiler. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us today, Ted.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Well, it's a real pleasure, believe me. When did you begin performing, and with whom? And can you tell us a little bit about some of the venues you played?
Well, that's when I began performing. I must have been 10 years old or something like that. I performed in all sorts of things. I was in a chorale in high school that did concert tours in Europe and things like that. And I played in rock bands and at high school hops and things like that. I play a variety of different kinds of music. I've played jazz and cocktail lounges. I play piano, and I also play guitar. I played blues. I lived in Austin for a while, and we had a little blues band down there. I played in a hard rock band in San Francisco. We played Keystone Berkeley. I lived in Nashville for a while and walked up and down Music Row back in the days when they were just houses. I hear that they've replaced them with skyscrapers now, but back then they used to be just a house, and you'd go up and knock on the door of the house and go in, and there'd be a record company in there.
That's right.
And I played in country bands. Most recently, up in the Poconos, I played in a country band with a guy named Bill Murray.
Okay.
And that was a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, who are some of the writers and artists that have influenced you?
Well, for my country album, definitely Buck Owens. And for the style, Ray Price. But I really think Buck Owens writes great songs. I think I first got introduced to Buck Owens songs through Ray Charles. And Ray Charles was a big influence on me when I was a little kid. We had some records in the house, including Ray Charles Sings Country. That's where I learned Crying Time, from Ray Charles. And then I heard Buck Owens' version of it. And I loved them both, But Hank Williams, of course, I was also really, really enjoyed Hank Williams when I was really young. I think that movie with George Hamilton really inspired me. Although I knew the song beforehand just from, osmosis. But I spent a long time trying to, use Hank Williams as my model.
Okay. Where do you find you get your ideas for your songs?
Oh, all over the place. Sometimes, usually, I sit down and I write the chords and the melody first, and then fit the lyrics into it. So the idea really comes from the music. I decide to write a kind of a song, the songs on my new CD or my new album, Last Rose. I actually sat down expressly to write that kind of song with that kind of theme, as with the same kind of themes as a Ray Price song or a Buck Owens type song. Specifically for the lyrics, usually they just come from some phrase that comes into my head, and then I just expand on it.
Okay. So you've done so many different genres of music. How would you describe your sound now?
Well, my sound now is definitely a honky-tonk country. I really like that sound. I've started adding that what do you call it? That walking bass. That that shuffle. That honky-tonk shuffle to every song I play now these days. When I go and play out, you'll hear me playing all sorts of songs with a honky-tonk shuffle. I also play one of the songs on the album, She's the One, is really more sort of a bluegrass song with drums. Bluegrass with drums, yeah, because I have that great banjo part by Kristen Scott Benson. So honky tonk and a little bluegrass,
okay,
more or less.
What are your plans for your music career?
Well, I'm just promoting on my own here. I'm self-released, and I'm hoping to tour in the near future. It's hard to put together a band, though, that plays the way I want them to play. That's why I got these great musicians, but I can't form a band with them because they're, well, you know, they're already in great bands. But I actually have another album in the works, almost ready to release. I'm going to wait a while to release that one. So I'm going to continue, especially recording at home, because I found a good system here. I realize I can work in my home studio, make a good recording, and then, thanks to the wonders of computers, now I can get fantastic, the top of the line musicians from far away to send me a track, and then plug it in to my digital audio workstation, and boom, I've got the greatest musicians in the world playing all my songs.
Yeah, that's great.
So I'm going to continue doing that, definitely.
Okay, so you say that you may be touring. So are you thinking of touring to in support of your title, new song, that title, that last one, Last Rose?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, that's what's released right now. I'll be playing that, I guess. I don't have a tour set up yet, so. But yeah, that's. That's what I'd like to, what they call it, promote, you know.
Hello, everyone. This is Keith Bradford from the You Gotta Love It radio show on the Nashville Broadcasting Radio Network. If you're a singer, songwriter, or musician that is interested in learning more about the music business, then I invite you to visit my website called playingthemusicbusiness.com. Once on the site, you can watch 60 different music business lessons that I have produced over the last 20 years. The lessons are meant to inform, enlighten, and entertain anyone interested in the music business. And remember, if you're gonna be in the music business, you gotta love it.
Knowledge is power. PlayingTheMusicBusiness.com offers music business knowledge for free. Visit PlayingTheMusicBusiness.com.
You mentioned that you record in your home studio and you have these other musicians adding tracks to it. Can you give us a little bit of an idea on some of the musicians that are playing on the songs that you have and maybe their background a little bit?
Oh, yeah, they're great. They just took my songs and they played it so well. I mean, above and beyond the Call of Duty, you know. The first guy I hired was Dan Dugmore, and he lives in Nashville now. But he was originally from L.A., And he spent 20 years in Linda Ronstadt's band and in James Taylor's band. Those are really great bands. I've been looking at them on YouTube. I knew all the songs and everything like that, but on YouTube you can watch the band live and all that kind of thing. And boy, they were really great. And he's the first guy that I got, because I had these songs and I'd recorded rough mixes, and I tried using guitar, just playing the lead guitar myself. I'm doing Ray Price kind of songs. These need pedal steel. So I just looked on Wikipedia, and I was going down lists of pedal steel players, and I saw Dan Dugmore there, and I clicked on his website, and I go, boy, I'd like to get him. So I just cold emailed him and sent him the rough mix, and he wrote me right back, and he said, sure, I'd love to play on these songs. I ended up later on talking to this Nashville producer named Ben Fowler, and he pointed out to me, those parts that Dan plays are just perfect for your songs. And I agree. It was amazing what he did. But then I'd sent out a couple more emails, and Byron Berline agreed to play on my songs. He liked them too. And Byron Berline is incredible. He's legendary. He played with just everybody. He's from Oklahoma and Kansas on the border there, but he went out to L.A. He's probably most famous for playing on the Rolling Stones song "Country Honk," and he really kicks it into high gear on that song. But he also played with the Flying Burrito Brothers and Graham Parsons and Bob Dylan, but not only that, he was in Bill Monroe's bluegrass band, played with Doc Watts and Willie Nelson, Lucinda Williams, Vince Gill. Look at his Wikipedia site and you'll see he just played with everybody. And he was really friendly and agreed to do these songs with me. And not only did he play one track and send it to me, he played double violins, because I said, these old Ray Price songs, they have two violins. And he said, sure, I'll give you both tracks. And so he played accompaniment with himself. There's two violins on the songs that Byron Berline plays on. That was really great of him. What a great guy. Not only that, on the album, we realized while we were mixing it, me and my my engineer, that Byron played straight through the songs. He didn't just play in the intro and the solo as I expected him to. He just gave us more than was necessary. And we realized, and then what happened was, while we were recording the album, we lost him. He died. He was 77. And I didn't even know about it. Kristen Scott Benson emailed me and told me about it. And God, that hurt. We realized we had all this extra fiddle playing of his. So we remixed them using all the fiddle playing. So he plays straight through the songs then. And that's why we have mix two of three of the songs on the album. I had one more song I was doing, She's the One. And so I contacted Jason Carter from the Del McCoury Bluegrass Band, and he said, sure. Since then, I've done two more songs with him that are going to be on the next album. And he really kicks that song off. Of course, I had already had Kristen Scott Benson from the Grascals do a banjo part for it. And she wrote this really intricate part for the song She's the One. And I think that inspired Jason Carter to really take off and play against her. I'm really impressed how these musicians can do that without, I'm sure, hardly any rehearsal. I think they just went in the studio, listened once, and bam, knocked them out and sent them to me, and I'm going, whoa, this is better than I expected. So they're the four players who played on it. Byron Berline, Dan Dugmore, Jason Carter, and Kristen Scott Benson.
Yeah, so they played with all those other artists, but they also played with you. That's really great.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding? I mean, they're on all these great albums, and they're on mine, too.
Yeah, that's right. You're a great album, too.
Wow. Well, thanks.
Well, yeah, you have a right for that. That's great that they did that. Well, we're going to be playing your songs, That One Last Rose and She's the One, as part of the interview, at the end of the interview. Can you give us a little background on those songs?
Well, That One Last Rose... I was just sitting down, actually, in my... that was when I lived in that garret, that attic, in a place called Emmaus, Pennsylvania, not Paris. You know, you're supposed to live in an attic in Paris if you're an artist. Not quite so far. Emmaus, Pennsylvania, a little small town in Pennsylvania. But it had windows all around, and so it was brightly lit every day. I really loved that place, and... I sat down deliberately to write a classic country song, and in the form of like a Hank Williams song, where the last two lines of the bridge are the same as the last two lines. The last two lines of the bridge are the same as the last two lines of the verse. That's it. Yeah, it, like Your Cheating Heart and songs like that. So I came at it from a musical viewpoint, from a structure. And then somehow, I don't know, I always liked songs about roses, you know, and San Antonio Rose, you know. And, somewhere where the rose came into my head and, you know... It was a song about loss, but it's kind of, what do you call it, symbolic, you know, throwing away the last roses, throwing away the last bit of a life, you know, a life together, you know. And I thought maybe that was going a little far, but people seem to like it, so I guess they can relate to poetry.
Well, that's great.
And then She's the One, that started off as kind of a garage band song. I was just trying to write a three-chord song with a sort of naive kind of theme. One of those unrequited love kind of songs. What's that Sam Cooke song where he's looking in the window? Silhouettes, yeah. That kind of theme, you know. That was my original idea, and just write a nice melodic song along that line. And gradually, I realized, oh no, this is a bluegrass type song, and so that's why I got Kristen to play the banjo, because it really cried out for a good banjo part and a good fiddle part with Jason.
How can our listening audience find out more about your music and maybe preview and purchase it?
Well, there's my website. It's tedseiler.com. And that has links for purchasing. And there's, samples on there. And I'm on everything, you know. It's on Spotify now. It was released December 30th, so it's... it's on Spotify, it's on SoundCloud, it's on Bandcamp, YouTube, it's on all of them. So, you know, if they go to my website, I wrote a page about the story of the songs where I tell some of the stuff I've been telling and other stories related to writing the songs and creating them, and each song and also the musicians that are involved. So there you go. Lots of places to hear it, learn more about it.
Okay. And your website again is?
TedSeiler.com. That's spelled TedSeiler.com.
Okay, great. Well, I've asked you a lot of questions. Is there anything out there that maybe I haven't answered? I'm sorry, asked you that you'd like to say to our audience?
Oh, I don't know. It's nice to be talking to Nashville. Are you guys located in Nashville proper? Or
yes. Yes.
Good. I have a connection to Nashville. I live in Allentown, Pennsylvania, but I as I told you before, I lived in Nashville when I was young, practically a teenager, and did the rounds of Music Row. But then even before that, my father went to Vanderbilt Law School, mm-hmm. way back in the 40s on the GI Bill.
Okay.
And so my father and mother lived there, as well as my father's twin brother, while he was going to law school there. So I know Nashville well. I miss it. I haven't been down in a long time. Gonna have to take a trip when the weather improves, just for nostalgia's sake, if nothing else. Or maybe I can go hang out with, I can hang out with Dan, Doug Moore, he's down there, and Jason Carter. I can find a time when they're not touring. I look forward to doing something like that. Hope I can put it together this summer.
Well, with your new album out, you can come down and play it out somewhere and get it out there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I guess I could go to some open mics, even if I don't have a tour.
Yeah.
Go to Tootsie's and see if I can get on the list.
Sure. Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, Ted. Really appreciate it.
Fran, thank you so much. I appreciate it, too. Keep in touch. I'll let you know when the next album comes out and if I start touring or something like that.
One by one, we lost the roses of days of yore. One by one we've lost the roses. There ain't no more. Throw out that one last rose and gently close the door. One by one lost the roses. We didn't care. We made a pretty prayer. We scattered roses everywhere. One by one we lost the roses. Who counts the cost? One last rose, it goes with those we've lost. There goes another one. We'd laugh and have our fun. We didn't know our race was run. We didn't know our time was done. One by one we've lost. They go so fast. Throw out that one last rose, and with it goes the past. another one. We'd laugh and have our fun. We didn't know our race was run. We didn't know our time was done. One by one we've lost the rose. A crying shame. She's the one I love so. She's the one, and she doesn't even know. She's the one I adore. She's the one my heart beats for.
Interview with Fran. Tune in next time for another exciting Ground Quake interview.